بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. My dear respected brothers and elders and mothers and sisters in Islam, one of the verses from the Quran that we most likely have heard of time and time again since the beginning of the month of Ramadan, the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is telling us about the command of fasting. And he tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In which he tells us that fasting has been made compulsory upon you. In this verse, after these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to mention some rulings regarding the fasting as well. In one verse, He mentions the exception regarding the travelers, those who are traveling. And then after that, some more rulings. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. About what's permissible, what's not permissible for the person who is fasting. But in between these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions one verse. The verse which I just read in the khutbah. In which he says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse that when my servant, when he asks from me, when he asks regarding me, then O Prophet, O Messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that I am close. Now regarding this verse, the scholars, they have mentioned that there are two possible stories of when this verse was revealed. One is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they said, أَبَعِيدٌ فَنُنَادِيهِمْ. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far, that we have to call out to Him, أَقَرِيبٌ, or is He close that we can whisper to Him and we don't need to call out to Him. So regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that I am close. Another story the scholars mention of why this verse is revealed is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this verse, because it has to do with fasting and has to do with the month of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating that in this month of Ramadan, my servants should turn to me and they should make dua and supplicate to me. Why? فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, because I am close to them. And we learn this through many, many different verses of the Quran as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions how close He is to His servant. وَأَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We also learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He is closer than our jugular vein, something which keeps us alive, which is so close to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He is so close to us, He knows us better than we know ourselves. And if this is our state, my dear brothers, then the only thing which is befitting for a servant is that he turns to his master and he supplicates to his master. And he asks from his master. Because in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this month so that we can turn to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us. And He is telling us that this is the month where I have made that you can turn to Me and ask from Me. Many a times we see with our own relatives or our friends is that you know, we have some of those friends who they call us only if they have, if they want something, or they're in need of a favor, right? And maybe we help them, we give them whatever they need the first time, second time, third time. But when they keep on asking again and again and again, then eventually, you know, we even think that, you know, what is this person doing? He only calls me when he's in need of something. Whereas the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that no matter how many times we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us to call from Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for you and I to supplicate to Him and to turn back to Him. To make up for the past 11 months. For the past 11 months where we may have turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may have distanced ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us this month. And He is telling us that this is the month where you can supplicate to Me and regain that connection. Because my dear brothers, we need to understand, what is dua? You know, one type of dua are our daily adhkar that we may have learned in maktab, in madrasa when we were young. Right? These du'as that we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we can say throughout our day-to-day lives. Throughout the day, from the time that you wake up to the time that you go to sleep. When you're entering the masjid, Allahumma aftahli abwaab rahmatik. When you're leaving the masjid, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Before entering the washroom, when leaving the washroom, before eating, after you finish eating. During the day, during every action, majority of the time, we find many, many different adhkar, different dua taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one benefit of this is that if we make a habit of constantly reciting these adhkar and reciting these du'as at every juncture of our life, what happens is throughout the day, we automatically connect our thoughts back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the entire day, we are constantly thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is watching me. And we have this sense of being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is also how we develop this quality of taqwa, which is one of the main reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained this fasting upon us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may adopt taqwa. So the more we engage ourselves in these du'as, the more we engage ourselves in these azkar, the more we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of these du'as, we don't even realize that it's a du'a. For example, when we meet another Muslim, what do we greet them with? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This itself is a du'a. You're saying, may peace be upon you. This itself is also a du'a. So our lives revolve around du'a. Our lives revolve around turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one type of du'a, is regarding adhkar. The other is asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs. Now, unfortunately, the reality is nowadays, as many of us, we just make du'a with the imam after the salah and that's it, and that's finished. But instead, we need to learn how to make du'a. We need to learn how to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that each and every one of us need to learn. When we're making du'a, what are we doing? We are communicating, we are conversing one-on-one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One-on-one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever needs that we may have. Another point is that many of us, we only ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are going through difficulty, when we are in need of something. This is only the time when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Whereas the reality is that we should be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever state we may be in. Of course, it's human nature that when we are faced with a trial, when we are faced with difficulty, then we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's there. But at the same time, it can only be that we only speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're faced with difficulty. And that when we don't have any difficulty in our lives, when we're living a comfortable life, then we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Because who is the one who granted us that comfortable life? It is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another point regarding this aspect of dua as well, is that many a times we are very hasty in expecting the outcome of our dua. We're very transactional with our dua, you can say. Is that when we make a dua, then we expect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer our dua straight away. And if our dua is not answered, then we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not hear our dua. Na'udhu billah. Whereas the reality is that even for a lot of the anbiya, right, the scholars mention, in fact, that a dua being accepted, it doesn't mean it has to be accepted straight away. It's very possible that dua can be accepted many, many years down the line. One example I give you of Musa alayhi salam, right? Comparing Musa alayhi salam, who is a prophet, a nabi, a messenger. And we believe our aqidah is that the prophets and messengers, they are ma'asum from sin, they are free from sin. So you can imagine a prophet, messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who receives wahi and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is sinless. When he was faced with the trial of Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam, he made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him and Banu Israel and his qawm, his nation and tribe, freedom from Fir'aun. Now the scholars mention, it's mentioned in Tafsir ibn Kathir, mentions that from the time that Musa alayhi salam made that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the time that Musa alayhi salam made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him freedom from Fir'aun, until the time that Fir'aun and his followers were drowned in the ocean, the time in between those two duas were approximately 40 years. 40 years between the time that Musa alayhi salam made the dua and the time that the dua was fulfilled and answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But our state nowadays is we make dua and we accept it to be answered straight away. And, you know, this is also an answer that can be given to the disbelievers or atheists, right? Who also say that if Islam is a true religion, it's an objection that many, many people have, is that if Islam is a true religion, then why do we see so much oppression, so much injustice going on around the world and in so many Muslim countries? So one answer that the scholars give is that whatever dua that we are making, it's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts it later down the line. Right? And one cause for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to elevate the rank of those who are going through that oppression. Or another answer given by scholars is that another reason why we think that dua is not accepted, but in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, instead of accepting that dua, what we have asked, He grants us something else in return of that. Or He saves us from a calamity, which could be the opposite of that. Or if we are not given that thing in this worldly life, then our deeds and our hard work will never go to waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the effort of the believers. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the reward of that dua in the hereafter. Why? Because the dua itself, asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself, is also an act of worship. الدُعَاءُ مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Just asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a kind of worship. And so we need to understand that in this month of Ramadan especially, we need to turn to Allah, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Throughout the day, when we wake up for tahajjud salah at night, at the time of iftar, when we are sitting for iftar, before we engage in the meal, before we feast, let us think to ourselves about the ummah, right? About those who you can say have been forcefully been made to fast and who are being oppressed. Let us think about them before we engage in our meal. Let us make dua for them. Especially we know the state of the ummah nowadays, the battle between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would see that there was a battle between truth and falsehood, between haqq and batil, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say that, O Allah, that if this falsehood, if this batil is given victory, and if they are victorious over the haqq, then, O Allah, there will be no one, none of your servants left in this world who will remain to worship you. This is the kind of dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make. So let us make these kinds of duas. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only for ourselves, but for our family, for the community, and for the greater ummah in the entire world. And like I was saying, through this dua, what happens is we build a personal connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same compassion that we talk to our close ones with, the same compassion that we talk to our relatives and our friends with, right? Sometimes we don't find that same compassion when we are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to build this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can talk to Him. And we see that when we make dua, maybe we make dua for 3, 4, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but we feel it's too long then, right? And we feel like we're restless and we have to get up. Whereas our pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Saliheen, you know, they could go on making dua for hours on end, and they wouldn't even realize that the time has passed. Why? It's because they have this reality in their mind, that they are conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one-on-one. This is regarding dua, especially in this month of Ramadan. You know, more than almost half of Ramadan now has passed by. And, you know, if we haven't been able to do what we wanted to do so far, but let us not become despondent. In Arabic, there's a famous saying, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُتْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. That thing which has not been fully attained, it doesn't mean that you leave it all the way as well. Right? Whatever is remaining in this month, let us make the most of the remainder of this month. Let us not become despondent. Especially as well, next week, inshallah, we will be entering the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. Regarding which we all know the virtue, we're all aware of the virtue of these last 10 days and last 10 nights. And the probability of the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, being in these nights as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, he says, تَحَرَّوْ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْوِتْرِ مِنَ الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. That look for Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights from the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And we can go on many, many different opinions from scholars of when this night is, but nonetheless, every single night, we should make this effort. Every single night, we should make this effort of finding Laylatul Qadr. And my teacher, Hazrat Mawlana Salim Durasal, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he mentions that every night, even if you donate $1, donate even just $1, because if it happens to be Laylatul Qadr and the night of power, right? What do we know about the virtue? Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. That this night of power is greater in virtue and in reward than 1,000 months, approximately 83 years. So even if you donate $1 every single night, you will, if it happens to be the night of Laylatul Qadr, you will get the reward of donating that $1 for 83 years, for 1,000 months. So inshallah, right, whatever is remainder of this month, a lot of people, they're probably going to school, they have jobs, and they feel tired, you know, getting up for tahajjud, praying Taraweeh Salah. But the reality is that this mental or physical, physically what we feel, or mentally what we feel, this is merely temporary. Right? It's just for a few weeks, a few days, what we feel. But once this month of Ramadan finishes, the reward that we will gain from it, inshallah, will be eternal. It will be everlasting. So don't get put off from feeling physically or mentally exhausted. Inshallah, whatever is the remainder of this month, let us make the most of the remainder of this month, inshallah. Inshallah, I'll end off with one last thing, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also in these last 10 days, in the hadith it comes, that إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ شَدَّ مِئْزَرَهُ وَأَحْيَى لَيْلَهُ وَأَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ. That when these last 10 nights would come by, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what would he do? He would tie his belt. For example, what that means is that whenever we are going to do a big task, you can say, what do we roll up our sleeves. So similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would prepare himself in this manner. وَأَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ. And he would wake up his family members as well. He would wake up the women folk in the house as well. And he would spend this entire night in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nonetheless, let us not waste the remainder of this month, right? Let us seek the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These middle 10 days are the days of forgiveness. Right? We all know the hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was climbing the mimbar, when he climbed the first step, Jibril alayhi salam, he said Ameen. And He said Ameen for three times for each step. I'll just focus on the first step. When he was asked, why do you say Ameen? Regarding what? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Jibreel alayhi wa sallam made a dua. That la'nat and curse be that person who finds the month of Ramadan, but he does not gain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen to this dua. We can imagine Jibreel alayhi wa sallam making this dua. Who is Sayyidul Malaika, right? The leader of all the angels. And who is saying Ameen to this dua? Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the messengers. So what is the doubt in this dua being accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So let us not be among those individuals who gain this opportunity, who gain this month of Ramadan, but are not able to gain the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month a means of us gaining salvation in the hereafter, a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving our sins, a means of attracting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to act upon whatever has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.